Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Hurry Up Podcast. I'm your host, Ayush Gupta, and I'm joined today by Michael Ivanos.
Yo, yo, yo.
And our returning special guest, Vikram Bunsal.
Hey, guys. Thanks for bringing me back.
So let's get right into it. The draft was last week. Lots of interesting stuff happened. So let's go through it. Let's go through what happened. We'll go through the first 10 picks first, and then we'll just talk about more general stuff after that. So obviously, starting at number one, Trevor Lawrence, what a surprise. Any thoughts on the pick after it actually happened?
We're gonna have to see if they made, obviously I think this was the move, but we're gonna see if they made the right decision of choosing golden locks over mustache.
I guess, yeah, it was the most predicted pick, but it's still really excited. Because it's we've been waiting for it for 2 years now. So,
yeah.
I do want to point this out, though. NFL, don't make the first team drag that out. Everybody and their mother knew they were taking Trevor Lawrence, and you're making them take until 2 minutes left. And then you're making everybody think, are they taking Zach Wilson? And then it's like, yeah, Trevor Lawrence. So what's the point?
Yeah.
What's the point?
Agreed. Well, I think it's to have build up, right?
Anticipation,
Because so many people watch the NFL. More people watch the NFL draft than any other American sporting event other than the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So.
Right. I get that. But, people aren't going to watch that portion. They're going to – I guarantee you a lot of people tuned in once the 49ers were on the clock.
No. I think what you don't realize is most of the viewers are the casuals, right?
Yeah,
and those are the ones who want to see 1, 2, 3, and then they turn it off.
That's fair enough.
They're not going to watch until 10. But anyway, yeah, as expected. Number two overall, also as expected, Zach Wilson to the Jets. Same kind of vibe with that one?
Same kind of vibe. I just want to see how it pans out. But I think we all knew that this was coming. So
Yeah.
All right, there's one thing I do want to mention about Zach Wilson that I've been kind of bubbling to say ever since I rewatched the Coastal Carolina game against BYU. So a lot of people refer, and I think myself included, I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks, the last time I was on. I said Zach Wilson wasn't that great against the right team, Coastal Carolina, right? We were dogging on the competition. But that game, he came 1 yard away from beating them. He got the pass there. It was a dime, and he was 1 yard away. And Coastal Carolina played dirty in that game. If you didn't watch the game, it's hard to because that interception was on the second. It was at the end of the half on the Hail Mary. So I don't really think that counts. But he was literally a yard away. Dax Milne trucks his way in. It's a touchdown. So I do think that game is a little bit overrated if you're gonna dog on Zach Wilson. There were legitimate concerns, but that he wasn't the reason they lost, and he didn't really play bad per se.
But again, it's Coastal Carolina.
They were a ranked team. They finished this year, I think,
not
13.
It's not Ohio State in the national championship game. It's Coastal Carolina, you know.
Okay, but then keep ranked. That same intensity when Clemson's clapping Georgia Tech and putting up 70.
Oh,
and everybody's
that's
my
fair.
God, look at Trevor Lawrence.
But Trevor Lawrence won a national championship.
I get that, but he had the opportunity to, right? Zach Wilson plays at Brigham Young.
I mean, that's fair. But again, of course, he doesn't have the opportunity to play against the good teams, but it's both.
It's not his fault,
but it's also it's an intrinsic negative. You can't really – You kind of have to knock him for that.
Right. But Big Ben played at NC State, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's great quarterbacks that come from small programs. It's just
– Exactly. But I just think I think that's an overrated aspect.
Yeah.
The small school thing.
The next quarterback also came from a small school. And for me, at least, this was a little bit of a surprise. I thought there were a lot of reports coming out about Mac Jones to number three. But it ended up being Trey Lance. So what do you think of that pick?
First of all, I would like to say that I did call this pick on my Twitter @cam_x_mac. If you want to give that a follow, you'll get to see Kansas Patriots content. Sorry for the shameless plug. But I think Trey Lance makes sense in the sense that, first of all, he's a developmental project. So Jimmy is their guy. They made that abundantly clear. Jimmy is their guy until Lance can beat him out. He's not like a force bench. Once Lance can beat him out, it's his job, right? So it's Jimmy's to lose. And Jimmy G brought them to a Super Bowl. So it's not like they don't have a capable starter. I personally thought that was a great pick because like a lot of people were saying, hey, Mac Jones makes sense because of your timeline. You know, like he won't take as long to develop. But Jimmy G is already there. He will, he's a competent QB to like, he's an average to above average. So I think this pick makes a lot of sense. So that when your defense, your big defensive shows like Bosa and Fred Warner and what's his name? I can't think of anybody else right now. Maybe I'm a casual. But like once they're gonna ask for those big paydays, you're gonna need to rely more on that offensive scheme, the West Coast offense that Kyle Shanahan likes to run. It's gonna revert a bit more to like that Falcons 2016 team, and I think that's what Shanahan's trying to do here.
Oh, you're 100% right. Before the draft, we had other episodes. You were not on them, but I was talking with Patrick, and he was saying it's got to be Mac. It's got to be Mac. But I was saying something similar. Like I agree with you in terms of a what makes sense perspective, but in terms of the rumors, that's the only reason why I expected Mac Jones to go at number three. Yeah. But in terms of logic, like it doesn't make any sense. Like why would you trade up from 12 to 3 to draft a guy who was probably going to be there at 12? Like I'm not saying Mac Jones would have been a bad pick at 3. It's just you could have had him at 12, so why waste two extra first rounders to go up there? Right. And also, Mac Jones is kind of similar in his profile to Jimmy Garoppolo. Granted, he doesn't have the injuries and he's younger, but he's it's sort of a similar type of guy. Trey Lance is the more raw prospect with a higher ceiling, which is why I also thought it would make more sense, especially because, like you said, they have a capable starter right now who we can learn behind. So
I do want to point this out, though, before I forget. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, both of them said only we knew the pick. Nobody else in the 49ers organization knew the pick until 20 minutes before the draft. So I feel like that's kind of a false narrative that's coming out that, oh, Mac Jones is the pick, and this is like a huge change of narrative. No, nobody else knew the pick. This is just kind of a rumor because everybody had Mac Jones
it was a rumor
to the 49ers.
Exactly.
And so people are like, oh, they have to be doing that. But then like people saying, sources close to me saying the 49ers are guaranteed to pick Mac Jones. I'm starting, like, I don't think those were at all accurate.
No, it didn't.
Just
yeah.
like inferences.
You're right. Next pick, Kyle Pitts to Atlanta. This one was also a pretty expected pick. What do you think?
Yeah, this is basically like your Julio Jones replacement.
Well, but in a different type of way, obviously.
No, I mean, like, he plays – don't let the tight end label fool you. He is
a wide receiver. That's true.
He is a wide receiver.
Yeah. I think it's a great pick, but it was also an expected pick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Next one, I mean, you called it. I kind of – I agreed with you based on the rumors as well, but I don't know what you think of Ja'Marr Chase, the Bengals, at number 5.
I would have, so I'm, I really liked the Ja'Marr. The Ja'Marr Chase pick was starting to grow on me. I know I made fun of it by saying like Burrow's going to be running for his life, but the connection that Burrow and Chase had was so special that like the line, it doesn't become like obsolete, but it becomes substantially less impactful, important because Burrow's passer rating under pressure was something absurd, like 145.3 in that year with LSU. And Chase was basically his go-to guy. And, like, I'm not saying this is going to be college, but, like, they literally feasted on A.J. Terrell, who's a really good cornerback for the Atlanta Falcons right now. They made him look, you know, like some guy. They made him look like complete, like a fool. So it's not – obviously it's not going to work to the same extent in the NFL, but Chase is too special of a product, of a receiver to pass up on. Like everybody's saying, oh, Sewell is like the most likely guy to be a Hall of Famer. And that's not really true. Like I'm not great with offensive lineman tape. I don't really know what to look for, but like a lot of people who like Brandon Thorne, who's a really good offensive lineman evaluator. He said that like, yes, Sewell is good, but he's not as good as Chase is at his respective position.
That's fair. And then also you could talk about the fact that the Bengals don't necessarily need a tackle. They need a guard. And yeah. I mean, I guess you could put Sewell at guard, but I don't know how that would work out. I don't know if it would be the same effect.
Like if you trade down, if Chase went to Atlanta, I could see him like trading down and then dropping Slater, which would make a lot of sense. But I do like the Jackson Carmen pick because like he's a big bodied guy. And if you move him to guard, I think he would thrive.
Yeah. But in terms of trading down, I also think the Bengals could have done that here at five, maybe trade with the Lions or the Panthers, get some value out of it because they're kind of in the middle of those two picks. But I don't know. Either way, it's a fine
pick. That's like nitpicking. This is a good pick.
It's a fine pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next one, Jaylen Waddle. It's a very interesting pick.
Yeah. So, I really thought they would pick Devonta Smith here just because he is more of that. Like, both of the Alabama guys are separators, in my opinion. I just thought they would pick Devonta Smith because, like, he and Tua have that connection. I'm sure y'all know of when Tua won his first national championship in Alabama. You know who caught that game-winning touchdown? Freshman Devonta Smith. Mm-hmm. The 22-yard touchdown to win the game, or 26-yard touchdown to win the game. He caught that touchdown. It's a really good connection. But Jaylen Waddle, he has legit 4.2 speed. He's not like Henry Ruggs. He's much better of a receiver than Henry Ruggs. And I know we say it about each speedster that comes out every year.
Yeah.
But like he's a legitimate, I don't want to say Tyreek Hill, but like he's like the Tyreek Hill light. Well,
that's the comp. That's the comp.
Exactly. And I don't like that comp, but like it's off the top of my head, because like he has good hands. He has great hands. He runs pretty good routes and he has blazing speed.
Mm-hmm.
So he's easily the most explosive player in the draft. And if he pans out, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, it's going to be insane, especially with Will Fuller on the other side.
Yeah.
Insane. But the only thing that I'm kind of unsure about is the value, because as you remember, they had the number 3 pick, they traded down to 12, and they had two future first-round picks, which is incredible. But then they trade from 12 to 6 and give up a first-round pick by doing that. And as we saw from the 12th overall pick, the Eagles were able to trade up to 10 without giving that much up and get Devonta Smith. So essentially, they gave up a first-round pick to go from Devonta Smith to Jaylen Waddle.
I get that, but what you got to understand is like the Dolphins have first-round picks to burn right now.
No, like, but I don't think you can just burn a first-round pick to nitpick between wide receivers unless they think that one's that much better than the other.
Right, but so you're talking about moving from 12 to 6. The Bears from going 20 to 11 gave up a first-round pick, so it's similar value. It is similar value.
No. I mean that's the cost. Like I'm not saying that they overpaid. I'm just saying why move up from 12 to 6 when you could have just moved up from 12 to 10 and gotten Devonta Smith and not had to get a future first-round pick.
I think the issue is that Devonta Smith's size. Like I know a lot of people are saying, oh, his size is a concern. I think for Miami, they were concerned about Devonta Smith's size, and so they had to go up and ensure themselves that they would get one of Jaylen Waddle or Jamar Chase, one of those. Like, and Jaylen Waddle isn't that much bigger than Devonta Smith. But like he's still a small guy, but like Devonta Smith is really, really small. He's like 165 pounds, you know, 5'8", 5'9". Like it's concerningly small.
Yeah, for sure. The next pick though, Lions, Penei Sewell.
I think I like this pick. Their line, they're just securing up that line for Jared Goff, who's like an average quarterback to above average quarterback. You know, he will give Goff some protection. I know people wanted Devonta Smith, but I would rather be able to get the ball off than, you know, get trucked by, you know, Za'Darius Smith and Khalil Mack and Everson Griffin and, you know, those pass rushers in the NFC North, because they have really good pass rushers up there. And Penei Sewell, he can provide right away and be one of their best offensive linemen. And like, because this is such a Dan Campbell pick. They like to build in the trenches. Like he was a blocking tight end. This is exactly what they want to do. He likes to be aggressive in reports. He likes to make NFL players miserable. So I guess that goes with their culture.
And again, I think that that's the way you kind of have to build a team. you have to build it through the trenches. I know that's how the Patriots have done it. Yes. Offensive line, defensive line, extremely important, and definitely more important than the skill positions. And I think that's why it's a great pick. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think people learned the hard way from Andrew Luck. Like, you need a good offensive line to protect your athlete, because your franchise, the quarterback has become so, so valuable over the past 10 years. Like, it's insane. You can't just have, you know, Brock Osweiler. Sorry, Brock, if you're watching this. You can't just throw Brock Osweiler out there, or Tom Savage, or like some third string scrub, and expect to win a lot of games. The Bears are living proof of that. You have an excellent defense, and your offense, like, Trubisky isn't he's a backup quarterback, and they were awful. They should not have made the playoffs, and that's with a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, I see this all the time on Twitter with Patrick Mahomes, like, oh, anybody can do that. Yes, to an extent. Like, you have to respect what he's doing as well. The quarterback has become so valuable, and so you have to protect that asset.
And with the better offensive line, that opens up the run game. And exactly. That makes
DeAndre
the pass,
Swift, RB1, anybody?
It makes the pass attack that much better. Although, I would kind of hold off on that a little bit, because of the lack of pass catching options in Detroit.
They have Amon-Ra. Some solid weapons. They got
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I thought that was a pretty good pick. He's going to be a good slot guy for the future.
Pick. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they're building. They're not going to be as terrible as everybody.
But the offense is not going to be explosive, at least for
Not in the slightest.
Not in the slightest. Might be.
I think they're going to be a run first offense, to be honest.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, even still, defenses are going to be expecting the run, and that's why it's also not going to be as effective.
No, yeah. I mean, they're going to be terrible, but, like, they're building something.
Yeah, they're building. They're building. It's a good pick. Great pick. Yeah. Number 8, J.C. Horn. Corner.
So, J.C. Horn was one of my favorite corners in the draft. I thought he had the makings of somebody like Jalen Ramsey in terms of pure physical talent. That being said, Justin Fields, like, I didn't expect Justin Fields to be right here. I really thought New England would trade up to get Fields at 7. Justin Fields is right there. Like, I know you picked up Darnold, but I don't know. Like, if Darnold pans out and Horn is everything I think he is, then I may look at this differently. And, like, their defense is really good, by the way. Jeremy Chinn and J.C. Horn. Dante Jackson is one of the most underrated corners in the league. They have a nasty front 7. Like, this defense, it's young and it's developing. They took all defensive players last year, and they're building something down there in Carolina. But,
well, I mean,
if Darnold pans out, this will look good.
The thing about taking Justin Fields is, are you really going to invest a first, a second, a fourth, and a sixth into two separate quarterbacks in one offseason? Especially because Darnold has, I believe at least that Darnold still has a high ceiling.
Well, yeah, but Justin Fields was the consensus number 2 QB before Zach Wilson's pro day. And don't get me started on pro days, but I don't, Fields is too good to pass up, in my opinion. And I just don't like that. If Darnold works out, great. Then you have your franchise guy for another year. You can build around him before you have to pay him eventually. Like, this is a young roster, but I just think Justin Fields is just so good that, like, that second round pick, you can deal Darnold again and he becomes kind of obsolete.
Yeah, exactly. I just think Darnold's in such a better position now than he was in New York. It's, like, not even close. Oh, yeah. You got to give him a chance. You got to give him a chance. I don't think spending a first rounder here made sense. I think you got to build the team a little bit too.
Yeah. No, that is also true.
Yeah. Next pick. I think this one's a little bit more about, you can question the quarterback or not. Number 9, Broncos, Patrick Surtain.
So when this pick was made, I had a couple things. First, yay, we're getting Justin Fields that age like milk. Second, Denver must, this has to be an asset for Green Bay. Green Bay is probably planning a trade, and this is kind of like what they do in the NBA. They pick for you, and then you get him, right? Because they can't trade Rodgers right now because the dead cap would be just insurmountably bad. They have to trade him after June 1st, kind of like the Julio Jones deal. So that was what I thought. But then Green Bay drafted Eric Stokes. And so this is a really, this just means they believe in, this means either they believe in Drew Locke or that Aaron is coming. Even so, Justin Fields is right there. Like, I'm higher on Drew Locke than most. I don't think he's going to be as good as Justin Fields can be. Denver has the offense towards his strength. You know, they have a great running game, and they drafted Javonte Williams, which is just icing on the cake. They have a really good receiver in Cortland Sutton, one of the most underrated receivers in the league. They have Jerry Jeudy, who's going to look for a bounce back year, or like, you know, build upon his rookie year, however you want to put it. And like KJ Hamler, who's like the deep threat. They have such good weapons. You know, Noah Fant and Albert O on the tight ends. They have such good weapons. And this roster is running out of time. And like Drew Locke is holding them back, unfortunately.
Yeah, definitely true. But I think as a pick, as a player, do you think that Surtain, like taking Fields out of the picture, do you think that Surtain was?
If Fields wasn't there, this would be a great pick. This would be a really great pick. But because Kyle Fuller and Patrick Surtain is a nasty corner duo, but like this defense is going to be really good, but like Drew Locke has to step up now, because this is basically the Broncos saying, we believe in you, now don't make us regret it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and to be fair, I think that the Broncos are like Sam Darnold, although it's a different situation because the Panthers traded for Sam Darnold, and the Broncos have had Drew Locke his entire career. I still think you got to give quarterbacks more time than they're being given in today's NFL. And I'm fine with Drew Locke being given a little bit more time, especially with the fact that they have the Jerry Jeudys. They have again, good offensive line.
Right.
I think if they give him another year, it's fine. Although the quarterbacks next year aren't good.
I'm not sure about next year's class, because next year's class is weird.
I mean, it's hard to tell right now, but yeah. Not banking on that class, I still think giving him another year is fine. But
yeah, because I could totally quarterbacks take time. Like Josh Allen is pretty
exactly. But it's just we could look back on this pick, and if Justin Fields is killing it in Chicago, it could be a different story.
It's gonna be rough.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter how good Surtain is. If Fields is good in Chicago, if he's good there, I don't know.
So the last pick of the top 10, the Eagles took Devonta Smith.
A+. Love this pick.
Yeah.
You're pairing him with his former teammate, Jalen Hurts. You know, you're adding this. I think he's going to be the best receiver on the Eagles roster.
For sure. Yeah.
No question. I think it's a great combination, and they didn't considering they traded with Dallas, a third round pick isn't that much. It's from the Carson Wentz deal. So in a vacuum, you trade Carson Wentz for Devontae Smith and an asset. I think a lot of Eagles fans would do that pick.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll do that deal.
Great deal.
Now let's just hope the size concerns are valid, but I think Philly is going to be a run first offense with Gainwell, Hurts, Sanders, Scott. That's a really good backfield. And so I think that may open up some lanes for Devontae Smith. But I just really like this. I really like this pairing.
Yeah, for sure. And now after the top 10, let's just go in general, now, rest of the first round, maybe even rest of the draft, we can talk about the more interesting picks, good and bad.
So one pick later, Chicago, to my extreme dismay, took Justin Fields. I love this pick for Chicago. They got, in my opinion, the second best quarterback in the draft at pick 11, and they did not give up that much, like a first round pick and a
No. Come on, let's get this straight.
Let me talk. I know they gave up a first round pick. I get that. They gave up like a mid round pick next year. I get that. If Fields throws for 4,000 yards, he will have had the best season in Bears history. Think about that.
He's not throwing for 4,000 yards this year. You can book that. He's not doing it.
This year, I mean, if he starts, he has 17 games. He has 17 games.
Well, I mean, that's the thing.
They drafted Tevin Jenkins. He's a really good offensive lineman. They have a really solid line now. Allen Robinson is happy. He's staying. Darnell Mooney, you know, Cole Kmet. They have a really underrated offense, and nobody was talking about it because of Mitchell Trubisky. David Montgomery is an excellent running back. He's had 2,000 yard seasons right now. They have a really good offense, and Matt Nagy is a very good play caller. He made Mitch Trubisky look like a starting caliber quarterback the year they went 12-4. Like, they have, this offense has shown like flashes.
I think you're underrating the reason why Justin Fields was available at number 11. There's like Zach Wilson and Trey Lance at a glance, if you look just in general, may not seem like better quarterbacks. And I kind of agree. I like Justin Fields at least better than Trey Lance.
Yeah.
But when you look at the things that NFL teams look at, like throwing motion was a big thing that I was hearing about Justin Fields that kind of put him below all four of the other first round picks. That and pocket presence, making it so that like he goes to run instead of trying to like, you know, finish the play out and go to his later reads.
Right.
I think those were definitely concerning things about Justin Fields' game, which kind of led to his fall in the draft. Talent-wise, I agree at number two, especially as a college quarterback, if you're going to rank them in college. But at the NFL level, the throwing mechanics definitely matter and that are harder to fix because those are your mechanics, right? Those are your fundamentals. And the pocket presence also is a big deal, but it's not as big. It's more fixable.
So the pocket presence thing, I 100% agree on. There were some games where I'm like, look out. Okay. So there were definitely some moments where that happened. The first read thing I think is kind of overblown because he has shown that he can progress through his reads, but the Ohio State offense is built like a first read offense. It's built like the Browns offense where like, first read or run, kind of like that. And so when that first read is covered, I'm not saying it's their fault, but like their offense is built toward that kind of thing. And it's effective, it works. So I feel like that kind of thing is overrated, and Fields has progressed through his read before.
It's not like
he's incapable of doing it. And that those sort of things, the pocket presence and the evaluating, like processing, It can be done. It can be taught. So I think those things are kind of overblown. I don't like the criticisms on the throwing motion though, because like I know people criticize like how he extends his arm too much, but it's not like to the extent like Tim Tebow had it. Like
Tim Tebow wasn't a good NFL quarterback.
Exactly, but like and that was the criticism. It's not like what Tim Tebow had. It's not that bad. Ryan Tannehill and Matthew Stafford both have. And even Philip Rivers, they all had altered throwing motions, and they were successful. Phil Rivers was a successful NFL quarterback, Justin and Stafford Fields. And Tannehill are successful NFL quarterbacks right now. So it's the throwing motion, I think, is an overrated aspect.
I think, like, again, I'm not saying he can't be successful because of it, but it takes Justin Fields, like, if you time how long it takes him to get the ball out as compared to any of the other first round quarterbacks. It's about double the time from here. Like he's holding the ball to get it out of his hand
and then to get it out. Yeah.
To get out of his hand. It's double or like I'm pretty sure the guy next to him is 0.5 seconds and it takes him 0.8 seconds to get the ball out of his hands, which doesn't seem like that much, but like in the NFL, what we're talking about, smallest of windows.
Yeah.
It makes a difference.
I'm glad that you mentioned that because these things can be fixed. these things, like those throwing mechanics things, they can be fixed. Like, again, one more guy I would like to mention is Carson Wentz. He had a long windup. He kind of like extended his windup a little bit, but he's still a successful NFL QB. So like those sorts of like throwing motion aspects, they can be worked around. But like the talent is there, and if you can develop the talent, literally none of these things matter.
Yes, but I think the only other thing is with the running comes the issues of durability.
An but increased he hasn't had risk, an injury risk history. Of, and even risk, if he gets increase, hurt,
but increased risk of injury, especially like that, in the NFL as be, compared to college.
That can be an argument for Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, Trevor
yes,
Lawrence.
Yes, agreed. For sure, like, agreed. I don't think that's Justin Fields specific. Yeah. And I don't think Trevor Lawrence kind of is in that same category. I think it's Fields, Wilson, Lance. Those three.
Lawrence ran more than Wilson last year.
Are you sure?
Yeah. That was one of the things that people
in terms of Lauren. But in terms of Wilson's game, I think he's better suited to do it in the NFL.
I think Zach faster. Wilson's like mobility. I think Zach Wilson's mobility was like criminally underrated. Like that, I think that's why I was okay with him going, because he had so much talent that like it doesn't really matter. You couldn't go wrong with him or Fields, but I didn't like Lance going to San Fran over Fields. But like I get the pick.
Well then, going from that pick, let's go to the next quarterback pick in the first round, because this one was the one that on draft night had us feeling one way, but after research, yeah, at least for me, has me feeling a different type of way. Mac Jones, 15th overall to New England Patriots. It's kind of eerie how similar he is to Tom Brady. I mean, the Tom Brady comparisons have been continuously made, but it's like you look at their games, you look at their traits, you look at a lot of things about them, they're pretty similar.
So I get what you're saying, but I think my comparison for him is more so like a Jimmy G or a Derek Carr, like one of those guys, because Tom Brady has never, and I mean never, been able to like move in the pocket. Like seeing him as like seeing a baby deer trying to use its legs is kind of sad.
No, he's able to move in the pocket. He's not able to move out of the pocket.
Not scramble. Like no, like Brady's footwork is incredible. Like yeah, his pocket mobility. I'm not saying pocket mobility. I'm saying like getting out of the pocket. It looks weird. But like, you know, when you see Mac Jones roll out, or even if you see him run, Mac Jones can run the ball. Mac Jones. I'm not saying he's Trey Lance running the ball. Like I'm not saying he's even Zach Wilson, right? But again, he's like Carr. Like Derek Carr can take a scramble for like a first down, right?
He's faster than Mahomes.
Huh?
He's faster than Mahomes.
Well, but Mahomes is actually pretty fast. Mahomes is pretty fast.
By 40 time, he's faster than Mahomes.
Right, but like I'm talking about like on field. Mahomes plays much faster. Mac, I think the best comparison to Mac Jones is Derek Carr, because like Carr has a pretty solid arm, but like he doesn't have like a top five arm talent. But he's definitely he can move, and he's smart, he's efficient, and he has like Mac Jones. I've been trying to talk myself into Mac Jones, because like I can tell you, I was fuming during draft night. Like I kept texting trade up, followed by expletives after Justin Fields. Yeah. But like Mac, I'm okay with Mac Jones if he pans out. Like Mac Jones at 16 is good value. I think people fail to understand that. I think a lot of Patriots Twitter made it seem like Trey Lance, Justin Fields, a cliff, right? But Mac Jones will be a good NFL quarterback if he gets to sit 1 year. And I think giving him that opportunity, and this offense, Josh McDaniels, he'll with a short passing game, learning under Cam Newton, I think he's going to be a good QB. I think this is a good pick. The question is like, in comparison to the others, because I think we know what Mac Jones is going to be. He's going to be like a perennial 4,000 yard passer, anywhere between 25 and 35 touchdowns, and if he gets like a big X receiver like John Metchie next year, Maybe, you know, he'll go for 35, 40 touchdowns. But I think that his floor is somewhere around like 3,500 yards, 28 touchdowns, kind of like what we saw with early Brady.
I wouldn't sleep on him either. Like people talk about him like he's the, like, again, like you're saying, like there's this cliff between him and Fields or Lance. But, well, sort of unrelated, but the Saints were trying to jump the Patriots for Mac Jones, first of all, in the 20s. And they couldn't do it because our friends, the Jets, got Elijah Vera Tucker up in there. And a bunch of other factors made it so that they couldn't trade up. But never also, the most important qualities in a quarterback. Like, you see all these quarterbacks now, everyone's mobile. That's where the league's heading. And so with that, everyone says, oh, you need to be a mobile quarterback in order to have success. I don't think that's true. I think the only things that you really need to have success are great decision-making and great accuracy. And those are the two things that Mac Jones excels at more than anyone else in this draft class.
Right.
In fact, he was graded as being the best at those things. Like, I mean, obviously PFF, not the most reliable, they're up and down, but
we just use them whenever they agree.
We use them whenever we need to use them in an argument, but I'm pretty sure he was ranked number one since they've been tracking in college football.
Exactly. In other words, we got the best cube in this draft, and y'all better like
but
it.
But I mean, like you're joking when you say that. You're joking when you say that.
But in all seriousness, no. I'm saying, of course, I was being sarcastic there, but like in all seriousness, Mac Jones, I think Mac Jones' career, other than maybe Trevor Lawrence, I think the start of his career, unless Zach Wilson goes straight from college, Zach Wilson, to NFL's, unless he translates right away, if Justin Fields translates right away, I think if they start right now, give me Mac Jones right now.
Of course.
Because I think he's the most
but
ready
also,
QB.
Don't sleep on his ceiling based on where he is. He's in right. One of the best situations he could have gone. San Francisco yeah. rivals it. You can debate which one's better, which one's worse, but mm-hmm. he's in a great situation. He's in a place where they know how to work with someone like him because they've worked with someone like him for the past 20 years and they know how to use someone like him to great success. His traits have led to many wins over the past couple decades. And I bet they could get this not the same, not even close to the same because Tom Brady is Tom Brady. He's not going to be touched by anyone for a long time, but they can get some success out of him. That oh, yeah. I'm not sure if they'd be able to get out of Justin Fields or Trey Lance or yeah. even Zach Wilson, maybe Trevor Lawrence because he's Trevor Lawrence. But I think that Mac Jones, at least for the Patriots, was the best pick they could have made. Not having to trade up made it even better.
Yeah, I think the reason why I wasn't too upset, the reason why I got over not trading up for Justin Fields is the fact that we could stay put. We didn't even have to move up one spot or even two spots. We could stay put where we were, keep all our assets and drafts. I think this guy was the one, you guys kept bringing this up and I didn't want to listen. Bill Belichick was the only guy, was the only QB, sorry.
Who's only at
yeah,
Mac Jones.
Mac Jones was the only guy that Bill Belichick visited. And obviously we had that camera shot of Bill conveniently shaking his head when Mac Jones made mm-hmm. an overthrow. I think that's just
smart man. He's a smart exactly. man, obviously. He knows,
exactly.
he knows his cards.
Exactly. He sees the camera. Oh, guys, hold on. I don't
want to take him. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
But again, don't sleep on his ceiling because honestly, I think with those traits, the decision making, and also like, I don't know if you've heard in the past week, there's just so many people who say that his intelligence, his football IQ is like a computer. He's one yep. of the smartest draft prospects, just like in general. So with those traits, I would be shocked if he didn't have some success, like you're saying, the high floor. But yep. that ceiling, again, if he's able to do what he needs to do in that New England system, he's going to be great.
Yeah, exactly. Again, like I said this earlier, like I'm not saying like he doesn't have the highest ceiling. Everybody said like he doesn't have the highest ceiling out of all these guys, and people interpreted that as low ceiling. That's not true. He still has a high ceiling. Like, there's still so much room for him to grow. Like I think his arm could use some work because people forget like Tom Brady didn't have a good arm when he started. But like right now, he has like he doesn't have the best arm in the league, but he can make a lot of throws.
He makes the throws because he knows where to throw the ball.
Exactly.
And he knows and he can do it with accuracy. That's all you
exactly.
need.
Exactly. And those two things, Mac Jones has them right now. Like, yeah. Mac Jones, he's ready to go right now. I think he will start at some point. I will be really surprised if he doesn't start one game this year. I will be really surprised.
As long as he can keep that work ethic, because I think that's what sets Brady apart from every other quarterback in NFL history, is he keeps fighting and he keeps working. And I've heard also that Mac Jones does have the work ethic. I don't know if it even comes close to Tom Brady's, but at least it's there.
Well, nobody touches him.
Yeah, I don't think it does. But
like, we should. I feel like when people compare, like, you know,
well, the comparisons are going
to
be
the way he takes care of his body. If you're comparing that to Tom Brady, you're like comparing like great to perfection. I feel like that's
you can't do it.
That comparison.
But he has a work ethic. He has all the traits that we've talked about. He is in a place where he like one of the best places that he can succeed.
And he wants to be there.
And he wants to be there. Yeah.
But wait, nobody wants to be in New England. Just don't forget that.
Don't forget about that. No one likes being in New England. But with all that, I think it's easy. Like he could end up being the best quarterback in this draft. I don't think it's the most likely outcome. But with all of those factors, I think he could be. Like obviously,
he'll definitely have the best start. I think he'll definitely have
the best start. But don't sleep on his future either. So unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you guys for listening. You can follow us on Instagram at the official Hurry Up, where we post daily content about the NFL. You should also check out our website, thehurryup.com, where we post more in-depth content about the NFL as well. Also, go follow us on Twitter at _thehurryup, where we plan to give short pieces of insight on relevant news items on a regular basis, and on TikTok at thehurryup as well. Make sure to stay tuned for these weekly NFL segments every Wednesday, bonus content on the weekend, and our NBA segment next Monday. Thanks again, and see you guys next week.